Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Why not us? Let's go. I'm the cynic. They're 13-2, and yeah, 3-and-out, 3-and-out, 3-and-out. It seemed like a game where you're watching the game and you felt like, well, they should be leading by 14. This isn't gymnastics, which is great, by the way. This isn't figure skating, also great. You win the game. That's the point. I think that's the point, isn't it?
You play to win the game.
Do we have that somewhere?
Hello?
Hello? Play to win the game. They're 13-2. The head coach is 33-16. All they do since he took over, basically, is win close games. The league is set up to have every game up for grabs in the fourth quarter.
You play to win the game.
Wait for it.
Hello?
There we go. That's the key, the hello. Alec Lewis had a great stat a couple weeks ago. It was like 75-80% of the games, 8 points or less. So we sit here and talk about, it's another close game. Every game is close. They're 13-2. The Eagles just lost their quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
They had won 10 straight. Half their team hates each other. Half the time, the coach is fighting with the stands. The Lions are ready to play Alex Karras. Al Kaline, they're going to take from the grave, and they're going to put him out there. They got nobody. The Packers are better. But didn't the club go to Lambeau? Weren't they leading? Was it 28-0? What was the lead in Lambeau this year earlier? Huge lead, right?
It was a big lead. Yes, they were crushing them.
AFC, plenty of good teams, but is there one team this year where you go, whoa, super team? The Chiefs, I get that we give huge deference to Reed and Mahomes. So do I.
They've earned it.
And by the way, they keep winning close games. Do they look like some monster that no chance? Josh Allen's the best player in football this year, right?
Buffalo looks like the class of the AFC right now.
Right? I could score a touchdown against them. They're terrible defensively. Why not us? Why not? You have a quarterback. The debate is over, by the way. I have been in the camp with a lot of people for a while. Let's see how it plays out. It's over. At minimum, they will franchise Sam Darnold, or else the Vikings need to lose their franchise. That's it. There's no chance they're just going to lose him for a third-round draft choice. None, zero, zilch. He's not going to just completely turn into Christian Ponder over, let's say, the next three games. Let's say against Green Bay, Detroit, and whoever they might play in the playoffs. He's established himself in a year when he's by far the best free agent quarterback out there. By Favre. And yes, there's some guys in the draft, but by the way, nobody in the draft is viewed as like Manning or Aikman or me with the Nitzball. Like Shadur and Cam Ward, people like maybe they'll be amazing, but nobody's like, wow, let's build a franchise around. They might be Hall of Famers. So at minimum, and I'm here also to extol, I am maybe it's the Christmas spirit. I am only here basically to praise this club.
Wow. Were you visited by spirits last night?
I haven't had a drink in 9 days. Maybe that's it. Not a drop since the WCCO radio party.
Wow.
Yeah. Although I did text Cowley today. It might be a half hour today.
I mean, the dry spell has to end sometime.
It's our only day of the week we're working.
Celebrate.
Celebrate. Let's come out a little cool in the gang afterwards.
No.
What?
We got Christmas tunes.
Celebrate good times.
No,
come on.
Not today. We've got the
come
best
on.
Of the
That's
best.
The key. You got to say, come on. Give me a little bit.
I won't do that.
Celebrate good times.
Come on.
A little more. Let's throw one more to it. Celebrate good times.
Come on.
That's it.
Let's celebrate.
Let's celebrate. Oh, I like the shoulders, too.
There's a party going on down here.
You have a coach.
Yes.
Who has just got it. Sometimes people have it. Like you meet somebody, they walk in the room, and everybody's drawn to them. That's Kevin O'Connell.
Well, you talk about him. I'm just going to Ziggy in the background.
Oh, my God. Honestly. Again, let's go to it again. This is about the eighth or ninth time. There is nothing in my life that brings me more joy than Hunter Griffin and Quentin. And I had some Hunter time this weekend. I had plenty of Quentin time. I didn't see Griff, but I will stand in front of a moving train at 500 miles an hour for these kids, right? Just like you were for your kids. But Ziggy, in his look, I think he needs an ankle bracelet on him when he's around Kevin O'Connell.
I watch the viral speeches now, only to find Ziggy amongst that and see how big the smile can be.
Okay, I watch because it is inspirational and you get emotional, but I am waiting. I'm waiting until again when Kathleen gave birth to Hunter, the greatest moment of my life. You know, and that doesn't mean I love him any more than the others, but that first kid's like, oh my God, we have a child. And it came out, he was adorable. He peed all over right away, too. You know, he had hair on him. You know, when kids have hair on them, they're good looking. I wasn't that excited as Ziggy is when he's in the locker room.
Not even close.
I get why. Because his club can win the Super Bowl. So O'Connell gets it. He relates to all sorts of players. I hear, by the way, when he has to be a badass behind the scenes, he can do that. Not much, but he's that guy. Then you got Flores. Was obviously one of the two or three best defense coordinators in the game. And for some reason, my algorithm lately on the TikTok, some of the 85 Bears have popped up. You know, and Dick basically the offense and Buddy's got the defense. Those two guys couldn't stand each other. These guys all love, right? But O'Connell, 90% just lets B-flow be B-flow.
It's worked out fairly well.
And they've stayed mainly healthy. Yes, Cashman was out for a while. And now Harrison Smith missed a game. And Jalen Redmond, who 3 weeks ago nobody had heard of, well, he missed a couple games. Now Ivan Pace has come back. They've stayed relatively healthy. Now, maybe their second most talented player is not playing, but that deal Kwesi made for Cam Robinson turned out to be a considering they gave up, what, a six-round draft choice?
Nothing.
Spielman would have 9 of those at this point. They win the close games. They have, what do they have? They have explosive plays. You know, so often these other teams, the Vikings, it was, okay, dink, dunk, and then maybe their defense would be great. Defense hasn't been dominant, and they'll be helped a lot, like, with Pace coming back. And especially considering how much the Packers run the ball, right? Because they run it a ton, and getting those three guys back against the run will be useful. And Harrison Smith's not the same player once was, but he's still excellent. I was ready to start the show talking again about Darnold because Darnold was phenomenal on some of those throws yesterday. I think his best throw was the first Jefferson touchdown. The one where it's in the corner of the end zone and Jefferson barely reacts. For pure throw, now for pure play, it's the winning throw where he steps up, he escapes on the wrong foot. Just an absolute missile dart.
The exact spot it needed to be.
The spot it had to be in. Jefferson's going to catch that ball 999,000 out of a million because he's Jefferson. Addison's good. Hawkinson's good. O'Neal is good. The defense is littered with good players. Why not?
Why not?
Why not? I'm not guaranteeing they're going to win the Super Bowl, but it was just another reminder where, oh, God, yeah, it's too close, the three and outs, and you're like, they're 13-2.
If they win the Super Bowl by three, half of Vikings fans, well, I mean, they could have won it by two scores.
I'll admit, I listened to my former station, The Fan, I listened to some of the post game, and like the first eight calls were like, what about this? What about that? And finally, Russo texts Nordo and said, they win the game? And I'm like, thank you, Russo. I wanted to text Russo the same thing. And I'm the cynic. Jump on board. They can win the Super Bowl. Do you agree with me, Dave Eric? They
yes.
can win. Why not? There's nobody they should.
They're one of the three best teams in the NFC and the only one without serious injury issues.
And on a neutral site, I would take them over those NFC teams. And by the way, because the Lions have so many defensive players out, what is it, 16?
Roughly.
I'm not exaggerating.
No,
I think it is 16 defensive players.
It varies,
right.
But yes.
Yeah. I'd take them because they got a quarterback who wins games. And since the Jacksonville debacle, because he was terrible in that game, he's got 15 touchdowns. And one interception. And they've won eight in a row?
Yeah.
Is that where we're at?
Yes, it is.
They can win the Super Bowl. What do you want to say? We're going to go to Mary Jo Copeland in 15 minutes. So we'll bring God in the conversation. Because maybe my opening question should be, Mary Jo, does God want the Vikings to finally win the Super
Bowl? Is he a Vikings fan this year?
Is it about time God steps up? Is he doing school right now? I don't think I'll go there. But never know. Maybe Mary Jo will. She's a sports fan.
Get her on the Gallahorn.
Get Mary Jo Copeland on the Gallahorn Sunday. Why not? She is truly one of the most amazing people we have in the state, if not the most amazing. What do you want to say? Text or call? They can win the Super Bowl. Stop your doubting. 651-461-9226. I assume Dave's playing this. Because the ball club is 13-2, and they win tough guy games, dude. This isn't a finesse, soft team, you know, a dome team that can't go on the road. They win on the road. They beat physical teams. They play physical football. So that's it. As the texter says, why not us? Why not now? Why not? It has to happen at some point. For some reason, I'm thinking it's January 13, 1977. Someone correct me. They block Ray Guy's punt, Fred McNeil. I think it might have been second down. They hand to Brent McClanahan. He fumbles, and that was it. The Raiders would blow out the Vikings 32-14, and we know the close calls since. Anderson hasn't missed a field goal in 2 years. We got it all down. Trying to cut Brett Favre's body in half. Why not? Realistically, we will be the number five seed. That means probably we'll have to win three straight road games, go to Super Bowl. Just isn't going to happen. Extremely bad luck. Ah, negativity. Come on. Again, I'm normally the person that does that. I honestly joke about that. I'm realistic, okay? I'm being realistic here. They're a great football team. The kicker is fantastic. The puncher is solid. They make good special teams plays. Aaron Jones, yeah. The fumbling issues could loom at some point. But Aaron Jones makes plays. They have so many reasons to be excited about it. Chad, my father-in-law, the biggest Viking fan, passed away last year. So I have no doubt they'll win the Super Bowl this year. Let's do it for the father-in-law.
Yes, why not?
Let's go. This is why we're making me even more happy when they lose and rip the hearts out of every Viking fan out there. Go, Pack, go. Well, if this person thinks he or she is getting me, you're not, because I'm not a fan. I'm just an observer. The one team I still care about, they're playing awful. Now, do I have plenty of friends over at the Vikings? Sure, I do. I'd like to see them be happy. O'Connell just came on the show. Seems like a great guy. But as a pure fan, the only team I actually still care about whether they win or lose, the Wolves, and they're just driving me nuts right now. I put in more defensive effort than Julius Randle right now, and I'm watching the game on the couch. But the Packers are in that mix. They can win it. Mm-hmm. All I know is the Vikings and Packers played one time this year, and the Vikings were toying with them. And then momentum changed, and Green Bay did make it a very close game. Guess what? Who won that close game?
I believe the Vikings did in Lambeau Field.
Close game. That is the point. Chad, I really love to see you and all the Vikings fans get excited about how the team is doing. Yes, the season, any team can win the Super Bowl. Again, I'm just being the neutral observer right now and pointing out I get tired when every Viking fan says, oh, complain about everything. Leave that to me. Seattle, not a great team.
No. It's still a game over 500, though, even with the loss yesterday.
Yeah. How many years did the Vikings lose that game? Against a team that's decent, certainly three outstanding wide receivers, quarterback who makes some plays, and Leonard Williams on defense. Woo, he's a monster. But they win those games right now. So, again, this isn't a guarantee. I probably should have just done that because what's going to happen?
Yeah, you'll be fine either way.
I'm okay.
You ready to do it?
No, I'm not. Vikings win the Super Bowl against a team that commits stupid penalties like Seattle did. Weak. They've ended up defeating some pretty good teams right in front of them. They lost to Detroit in an extraordinarily competitive game when Detroit was still healthy. Why am I now briefly blanking on the other game they lost right now?
The Rams.
That's right.
It's
the Rams.
2 weeks in a row, right?
That's right.
And they were beaten fairly soundly in that game.
They were. That was decisive. Meanwhile, the Rams are one of those weird teams where 1 week you think, whoa, watch out for the Rams. And you think, whoa, they're going to have about the 12th pick in the draft.
Yeah. And that was the week, what, Cooper came back and,
yeah,
and the other guy?
Puka.
Puka, yes.
Not a hookah. That's something you were doing in high school. Puka.
Buka?
Puka.
Like the Italian place?
Yes. No.
Yes, Puka.
Puka. Puka shells. They may still wear Puka shells.
I think those are hookah shells.
No, I think Michael Thompson. Wasn't Michael Thompson wearing the Puka shells? That's what I think of when I think of the Puka shell. Somebody's very mad, too, that I was having fun with Susie. First of all, there wasn't the Luigi story obviously is incredibly serious. We just had it. Network news. I think we should go back and forth on the news all the time myself. I really do. That's how most stations do it now. I think we should do more of that. We don't yuck it up on serious stories. But do we interject a little bit? And to be honest, one person is a nice person trying to buy Christmas gifts, talking about the roads, and then a lot of people are pooping. We weren't exactly breaking a lot of news there.
Agree to disagree.
Oh, you think all that was just cutting edge stuff?
That doesn't have to be cutting edge, but news is news, Chad.
But we can have fun with that. Well, stop playing your part right now. Stop it. 34 past 12. Mary Jo Copeland is next. I am at the website right now, and I'm reminded again, the tens of thousands of individuals who have been helped over the years because of this individual, Mary Jo Copeland. You just go to SharonandKarenHands.org, and you will see so many pictures, including I'm looking right now at Mary Jo and Pope Francis right there. What an amazing moment. How you can donate, how you can volunteer, and a reminder of all the services. Mary Jo, you know this is one of our highlights when you're kind enough to join us. So first of all, I want to say Merry Christmas, and I want to ask how you're doing.
Chad, I've never been better. How would you say this? On top of the world and still climbing.
That's a great way to look at it, Mary. Fantastic.
I don't know how else to say. What else can I say? I couldn't say it any other way, but I am. I'm doing well. I'm doing helping a lot of people, and, you know, motion is the lotion. So if I have a little arthritis here and there, doesn't bother me a bit. I just keep moving.
What time do you get up, Mary?
Well, Chad, my hours are a little different. I'm up. I sleep sometimes here and there, and then I get up in the morning, and I pray all morning long, and then I come down. And I come down, and I do my office of the hours. You know, I'm like a contemplative nun without a habit. And then I go downstairs, and I fix up the meal for the breakfast, and I walk around. Then I say a few more prayers. I take care of everything. And then I can rest a little bit. Then I lay down for a while, and then I go down to Mary's place and see the family. So my day is kind of split up between prayer and work.
When you were praying, when you first get up, Mary, can you tell us about that and expand on that a little bit?
You mean what I say when I first get up?
Yep.
When I first get up, I say, thank you, God, for another day of life. Thank you for the privilege that you've given me to be able to take care of your poor. And sometimes it takes a little while for me to get the shower and get it done. But then I sit down and I say, boy, it is good to be here with you, Lord. You gave your life for all of us. And this is the least I can do for you is to go down and give my life for others in honor of your love for me and the world.
Mary,
that's exactly what I say.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I know that resonates across the globe with literally billions of individuals. For someone who's listening right now and who's curious and they don't pray and they hear you talking about the power of prayer, what would you say to them if they're open-minded on the topic?
You know, it's funny when you said that, the power of prayer. There are people that don't understand it, but God loves all of those people too. And I think I would say to a person that doesn't pray, there is great power, great peace, and great strength in prayer. Even if we don't understand it, maybe just sitting alone sometime, letting the Spirit, whatever you believe in, come into your heart and ask, what am I doing with my life? What am I doing? Is there really a God? Look around. I say, take a moment and look at your life. Look at what you're doing with your life and look at the God that gave you a world that you can do things in and make a difference. I understand that my thing with prayer is I want to bring prayer to the world. I want people to understand the power in it, but not everybody does. But they do understand us taking a moment of peace in themselves to find something that they can do for others. Maybe that's the answer to prayer.
Mary Jo Copeland is here. She has dedicated her life to helping others and dedicated her life to God, as you've heard. She is involved, and she is the reason that Sharing and Caring Hands exists. She's the reason why Mary's Place exists. Mary, if you were to describe for someone who doesn't know about Sharing and Caring Hands and doesn't know about Mary's Place, a typical day, how would you do that for them?
How would I tell? Well, You mean you want to ask me how I would describe a day to somebody?
Yep.
Well, you get up and we open the doors, and there people come through the line and they ask for help. There's all different kinds of needs. People are here in that line when I open it every day with many needs no fault of their own. Like I had a family walk in the shelter the other day. I just had a couple last rooms. The little girl says, I want to go back to my house. I don't want to be here. And the mother said, the mother has a heart problem, and the mother lost her house after 12 years. So I brought the little girl in, and I asked her about Christmas. And I think there's all sorts of different things like that. And then there's people that can't pay their copay. There's people that come up and need a bus ticket somewhere. There's people that need shoes. There's people that have got a car tow. A lot of people just can't make it. One little thing, one house closing, maybe a job loss. It's just incredible. And then you go to the line, then they have breakfast. Then I come back and finish the line. Then I go across the street. There's almost 100 units filled over there with children. I try to see so many families a day. But then there's a tutor program. We could use some more tutors and volunteers. And they help the children that are behind in school. Then I come back here, open the line again, and have another lunch at 1 o'clock. It's kind of like a prayer and work. But, boy, do people get hope. And when they find hope, Chad, they find peace. Even in the meal that someone brings them, if they have someone knows that someone cares, they don't have family. A lot of them have nothing. And how do you say, I can't do it all? But one person at a time and one volunteer at a time. People are out there can make a difference, and they will, and they have, and this community has. I just need a few more.
Well, you know, you mentioned hope, and we all need that. You know, we need that for the next hour. We need that for the next day. We need that for the next month. And when you meet individuals who, for various reasons, are doubting that their hope is still out there, it is extraordinary what you can do in providing them inspiration, a meal, housing, a path forward to convince folks that hope is still available to them.
You know, there's a little saying that I have. It's I got to tell it to you. Hope was not just a promise. It's people say, well, I say it's just a wish. It's just a wish. You know, people think that, well, we hope a wish. That doesn't mean anything, you know. But you know what I say? Inside each one of us, every human being that's listening to this, inside each one of us, God has placed a spirit. It refuses to be broken. Nobody's spirit is broken. And that spirit is called hope. Each side, one of us, and we never, like I said, people think, oh, I hope, but it won't get better. Yes, it will. We just have to have that promise that it will be better. And you know what's funny? When we look at hope, everybody needs it. You do, I do, we all do.
That
God will give us what's needed for today. We can't let yesterday take too much of today. A lot of things have happened in people's lives, Chad. And they'll say, yeah, it'll happen again. That's just discouragement. And discouragement doesn't elevate anybody. It keeps them down. And they have to look at the fact that when there's a rainbow out there, when there's a storm, God doesn't take away the storm, but he gives you the strength to bear the storm. Sometimes he calms the person instead of calming the storm. We have to listen to that voice. And that's what comes through silence and prayer. And for the people that don't pray, then come take some silence and look at their life. Look, they can count all the things that haven't happened in their life, Chad, but start looking at some of the things people have got in their life. I tell the poor that when they come, I bring them in the chapel, I pray. I said, you know, as hard as this is, you're finding some hope today. You can't worry about tomorrow. You don't have tomorrow, but you have today to be grateful for what we have this moment, this time. And like I said, inside each one of us, God has placed a spirit that refuses to be broken, and it's called hope. Don't let that spirit be broken. That's what I say.
I'm looking at the website right now. Excuse me. It's sharingandcaringhands.org. Again, sharingandcaringhands.org. You can learn all about the programs. You can donate. You can volunteer. So when we look ahead to the early part of next year, Mary, if individuals listening wanted to help, can you tell me where you most need some help right now, either at Mary's Place, Sharing and Caring Hands, or somewhere else within your organization?
I think one of the things I would say is right now we could use some more volunteers to help these kids to keep our reading program going. I need a couple more dentists. I finally opened my dental clinic after the COVID happened, and I've got a beautiful, because I'd opened that years ago, got a beautiful dental hygienist. We've got a couple of dentists. That's just a great need. People don't take care of their teeth. Also, volunteers that can call and donate. There's a lot of things they can do. Blankets, all sorts of household items. People can get together and have hygiene collections. There's schools. There's individuals. The other thing is I've got groups for serving, but some of the areas are you know, a little light sometimes. People go on vacations. This is vacation time in the winter. They'll go on their little cruises.
Yeah, right.
And so I could use some volunteers to serve a meal or something. Anytime people want to say, what do you have? I have to talk to them. I'll have to see. But I can fit them in, but especially the dentist and the volunteer room down there.
Beautiful.
And to help these kids with reading. Oh, my gosh, if I could get a bunch of people to work with these children behind in reading, I could just, because, you know, people don't want to work. They don't have to work. They can volunteer. They'll get a lot of grace for that.
Last thing, Mary, when we get to a couple days from now, when it's Christmas, tell me what will be an ideal Christmas for you.
I think one of the ideal Christmases for me is to look around at all the hundreds of people that are living at Mary's Place that would have nowhere to go. If I could look there and look across the world, I would be so happy to know that I brought hope to people. It wasn't my grace that brought my, but it was God's grace that gave me the privilege of being able to sit back on Christmas and know there are a lot of people out there without going without hope. If I could say that to the world, to the community, the people that have helped this people, kept going, the money, the time. I'm going to be here 40 years the next May. Mm. And I could only take one Christmas at a time and look around and say, thank you, God. Thank you for you using me. I'm just a little simple soul, not even known by anybody years ago. Just a simple soul said, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And I think I could thank God that I can bring that kind of hope. And I can, this is not a job. This is a way of life. And thank you for that, God. And thank you, the Blessed Mother Mary, for everything they've done for me.
Mary, this state and this world is better because of you. And every year I'm reminded of that when I drive by, sharing a caring hand, when I donate in some way, and most importantly, when we've had these conversations year after year after year. You are an inspiration. We are better because of you. Thank you for everything you do. Only the best going forward. And I look forward to our next conversation, whether it's next Christmas or even sooner than then. And I hope you have a fabulous Christmas as you continue to help out so many people all across our state.
Thank you, Chad. And a day without Chad, without an interview, is a day without sunshine. I have to say that to the world. But thanks for the community and for all of WCCOI. I hope I live to be 100, because then we could still have our conversations. But
to.
I want you to stay around till that time, too, so we have to talk to
yes,
each other.
Yes, absolutely. That is a deal, Mary. Thank you so much.
Bless you, and Merry Christmas, Chad. Okay.
She is Bye-bye. The best. Go to the website right now. Just take some time. Maybe you want to volunteer. Maybe you want to read to some kids. You can help out in the dental area. Maybe you can help out at either location, or maybe just you can donate some money. There's so many ways to help. We're talking about Mary Jo Copeland, sharingandcaringhands.org. Once again, sharingandcaringhands.org. I'm willing to take you to see fireworks, by the way, just so you know. I know your father never brought you to fireworks. Is that correct?
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
I could bring you tonight. We could find some fireworks.
Yeah.
You want to tell everybody who you are?
I'm Seth DeRusha, son of Jason DeRusha.
Alyssa.
I want that also.
Alyssa. Let's be honest. Last Saturday, I was with your mom and dad. Your mom is smart.
True.
She's caring. She's intelligent. She's beautiful. Why? I mean, do you ever wonder?
It's hard. I don't know.
Do you and Sam ever sit and say, I get it, he was a TV star, but Mom, what possibly were you thinking?
I mean, I think we all just are happy we're here, that he got to where he is, that
surprise.
She took such grace on him.
Dave, is that what you heard?
I heard out of the house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should see Seth's girlfriend. Like, I like to think that I've given Seth the confidence that you can overachieve.
Wait a second.
Did you just call your son ugly?
That's what I heard.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Or he's lusting after your girlfriend a couple days before Christmas here.
Wow. What a creep.
Wow. What a creep. Jeez.
Matt Gaetz-like behavior.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Do you ever hear his commercials at all and think?
No.
No.
They don't play him in New York.
Yeah. Podcast?
Not yet. Just wait till this show goes national, baby.
Merry Christmas. Nice to
Merry
see
Christmas,
you.
Merry Christmas, yeah.
Overrated, underrated, properly rated, plus CBS. And Susie, I might interrupt her 9 times. I mean, if it's just going to be the same stories, you never know. Jason's on later today, 3 to 6.